It's good to see all of you this morning. I don't know about Benny's allergies, but mine's helping me sing some pretty good bass right now. When Jesus was on trial before Pilate, Pilate asked him a question. Because his question that he asked showed that he doubted who Jesus was. And the same question, I believe, is asked by many today. And it shows that they really don't understand what the question is that they're asking. When Jesus was before Pilate, in John's account, John chapter 18, beginning in verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" That's not the question we're going to talk about. Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Pilate's question is what we want to talk about this morning. What is truth? What is truth? That's one of those words that if I asked you right now, could you give me a definition for what truth is? I'm sure all of us would have our view of what truth is. But truth, according to the dictionary, means the quality or state of being true. That which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. With fact. That's what Jesus said. That's what he is. He's the truth. And that comes from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Truth. Truth is not your truth and my truth. You know, when people study the Bible, a lot of times the point comes up, well, that's your view of the Bible. That's what your Bible says. No, it's not my truth or your truth. It's not objective. And it's not, I mean, it is objective in that point of view and not subjective. Truth is the voice of Jesus, is it not? In John 18 and verse 37, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say. You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. That's why I came into this world. That I should bear witness to the truth." Jesus is truth. His voice is truth. The Word of God is truth. John 17 and verse 17. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." The very Word of God. And yet Jesus became an enemy of how many people? Because he spoke the truth in love. You know what? If you speak the truth in love, you will become the enemy of people as well. John chapter 8, in verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." That's how God addressed himself to Moses at the burning bush on Mount Sinai, remember? "Before Abraham was, I am," he says. You're going to offend people when you preach the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear their version of the truth. In John chapter 15 and verse 20, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." And Paul tells us in Galatians 4 and verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" People in this world do not want the truth of God's word. And I wonder sometimes if the Christians in the Lord's church want the truth of God's word. Because we get upset if somebody preaches something and we might politely say, "Oh, you stepped on my toes." But sometimes that means, "I don't like what you said. I don't like the message you preached." Well, it's not my message, and Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hated me. I've had people, after preaching sermons, that walk to the door where I'm standing and flog me because they don't like what was said. That's fun. Here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all to have unity, be of the same mind, one of another, just as Jesus and the Father were. But because I don't like what the preacher says, then I'm going to turn on him. If he's preaching the truth, who are you actually turning on? What did Jesus say? The place of truth in God's plan is, and our dependency upon it is what we want to talk about this morning. We depend on the truth. And it is part of God's plan for our salvation. The truth. The truth of God's Word. So we want to talk, first of all, about the source of truth. It is God. God revealed His truth to the world through His Son, Jesus. The Hebrew writer tells us this in chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. He's talking about the Christian dispensation, the last days. We're in the last days as this Christian dispensation. We're not the Mosaic or the Levitical, but the patriarchal age. And in the various times, the different times and different ways, God has spoken to His children. Today, in this last day, God speaks to us through His Son, through His Word. God has revealed it to us. John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John then equates the Word with truth. Jesus spoke about the Father's will, that is, the truth of the Father's will. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, He said, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But He who sent me, that is the Father, is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. They did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I am doing nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Jesus spoke the Father's will. He came to this world to do the bidding of His Father. And that was to speak the truth of God, the truth of His Word. His Word, that is the truth, judges and gives eternal life. We see in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, talking about the day of judgment. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Jesus says, I came here because the Father sent me. And the Father told me what to tell you. Well, what kind of son would he be if he didn't do what the Father said? Now, if we had a son like that today, we'd call him rebellious, wouldn't we? And our effort would be to discipline him until he was not rebellious. But Jesus was not rebellious. He submitted to the will of the Father to do what God commanded him, as he says here in this very passage. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. John chapter 14, verse 6. He is the full scope and perfect expression of truth. Now, everybody says Jesus was perfect. I agree with that. I'm not doubting that in the least. But when we understand that He was perfect, He was complete, He was the full scope, He was the full breath, perfect expression of God's message. He just told us He came to do the bidding of His Father, to obey His commands. And we learn from Christ when we hear His word. the word that he taught us. Ephesians 4, verses 20 and 21. Now, isn't it ironic that people claim to be children of God, but they don't want to listen to what Jesus says? People in our world, your religious neighbors and friends and family that are not members of the church, they will tell you, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. My whole heart is devoted to Jesus. I'm doing what Jesus says to do. No, you're not if you're not doing everything. You can't pick and choose. Jesus is the full expression of truth. Now, how can we be following and obeying Jesus if I'm not doing everything he tells me? And I know I can do everything he tells me because we learn everything we need to know from Christ and his word. So the source of truth is God. Everything that we need to know comes from God. Let's talk about the mission of truth. Why did God send this truth to the world? To save sinners. God has a desire that all men be saved and come to repentance. God has a desire that all men, all mankind, spend eternity with him in heaven. In John chapter 6, verses 44 through 47, that's what he talks about. He talks here in these verses, beginning in verse 44, that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We are drawn to the Father by what Jesus has revealed to us, by what Jesus' words of truth have told us. And in like manner, what his disciples, his apostles, when he delegated his authority to them in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when they wrote, we're obligated to do what they say, because they revealed the mind of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can come to the Father unless they do the will of the Father. We see in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. We're taught of God. Now, how do we do that? How are we taught of God? Two important things have to happen. You have to hear, and then you have to learn. When I worked factory work many years ago, been around the heavy presses and everything, you'd have to go ever so often and have a hearing test done. And they'd put you in that little booth with your back to the glass, and you'd have to raise your hand when you put the headphones on. When you hear the little shrill beep in the ear, this ear, back and forth. And I'd come out and they'd go, well, you have perfect hearing. And I said, well, my wife says I don't hear nothing. And they go, well, that's called selective hearing. I'm afraid when it comes to worshiping God and following the truth of his word, we have selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. We hear the things that we think applies to us, but most of the time we're thinking, well, you know, brother so-and-so needs to hear that. I hope sister so-and-so got that. How about self? Applying what I'm hearing to self. They shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard, that's the first thing, and then learn. Take what is taught, what you read, what you meditate upon, and learn from it. Come to Jesus, verse 45. That's what he says. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 talks about that God calls us to salvation by this very gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believes what? What you have heard and learned. Just like the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone should teach me? He listened. He heard what Philip had to say. He learned about what Philip was talking about. And his next question to Philip was, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He heard and he learned, produced obedience. And that's what needs to produce obedience in us. But he says here in verse 7, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. The believer in the truth of Jesus and God and God's word, that's how we obtain eternal life. By believing and obeying the word, the truth. Truth frees us from sin when it's received and obeyed. You cannot continue, as we like to say, straddle the fence. If you're going to live your life according to the truth of God's word, you can't keep living in the world. It doesn't work that way. Truth frees us from sin when it is received and obeyed. The question is, are we obeying the truth that we have received? God's truth approves us before God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, the truth here brings to light our thoughts and our motives and will conform our lives to God's will. I like the passage of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul talks there and he says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we obey the truth, it brings out who we really are. And what I mean by that is, if I'm going to follow and adhere the word of the truth to my life, then I have to make a transformation, a change in my life. I'm no longer going to be, as Paul described in Romans 6, the old man that I once was. I can't live that way. Paul, if you listen to the radio program this morning, when he talked about the works of the flesh, he gave that short list of the works of the flesh. And he says, and much more, in a sense, but he says, and such were some of you. And when you do the works of the flesh, he said, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of life. You're not going to make it to heaven if you are not following the truth. Now, I'm not talking about to the extent that you want to follow it. You can't say, well, I've been baptized and that's all I have to do. I'm there part of the time and that's all that God requires of me. No, that's not what God requires of you. He requires all of your being. Every ounce of you. Your mental ability, your mental state, your emotional state, your physical state, your spiritual state. He demands 100%. That's what the truth is. That's what the mission of the truth is. Is for you to be approved by God, it requires 100% from you. Well, I'm old, I'm retired, doesn't matter. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? Years ago, I was going to try to teach some new songs and how to lead singing a little bit better, which I'm not a teacher when it comes to song leading. But I was going to try to help the brethren out, and one of them says, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. The problem with that statement is it is applied broadly with a brush over our brethren. There are some that think, well, I've reached the age of retirement. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to provide, you know, for the public like I did in my job working for the factory or whatever. So now I'm going to sit back. Years ago, again, when I worked factory work, it seemed like the people that would do that and have that mentality that they're going to go home and sit on the porch in the rocking chair and drink coffee, they didn't live long. They didn't live much longer in this old world because they got lazy. Who here has ever reached the age of retirement in being a child of God? When Paul told Timothy to study, to show yourself approved, did he put an age limit on that? I mean, I know Timothy was a young preacher. Was that only because he was a young preacher that Paul told him to study? Well, when you get 55 or when you get 65, the age of retirement, you don't have to study no more. Is that what he said? When Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving Him the glory, does he say when you reach retirement age, you don't have to keep growing anymore? There's no age restrictions on serving God, on studying God's Word, on being active as a child of God. God's truth approves us before God, and it brings out who we really are, our thoughts and our motives. We look at the examples that we see, and we see that the truth reveals hearts that are willing to serve God, like in Acts 17, or we see jealous hearts that don't want to do anything to serve God. What we've seen here is the source of the truth is God. The mission of the truth is for God, is God's truth is saving sinners, and He brings His truth, approves us before God. But we want to talk now about the power of the truth. Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 16 that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And I've said, you know, I've told you before that that word power there is where we get the Greek original for dynamite or TNT. That's what Paul is talking about here with the power of the gospel. It has that explosive power that has that ability to move a person's heart. Example of that would be Acts chapter 2, wouldn't it? That great sermon that's preached there, and it says they were cut to the heart or pricked in their heart. And they asked the question, what must we do? Look at the stoning of Stephen. It had the adverse effect on it. When Stephen preached, they were cut to the heart, but not in a positive way. So the gospel, the truth of the gospel is powerful. It is powerful. Paul describes, or the Hebrew writer describes it in Hebrews 4 verse 12 as a two-edged sword, able to cut to the marrow of the bone. But you know what? The power in the truth, it has power over sin. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when Eve was tempted by Satan, by that serpent, over that fruit hanging from that tree. What we see in verse 4, verse 3 is the serpent coming to Eve and telling her, and then verse 4 there, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He added one small word there to God's command. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So we see here that the serpent, that is Satan, took the word of God and the power of that truth and added one word to it. He changed it, just one small three-letter word. He added the word not. God had said, you will surely die. And the serpent said, you will not surely die. And the temptation was more than she could stand. Verse 6 said that Eve believed that lie and obeyed that lie. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The power in the word shows right here that it can be manipulated to cause people to believe a lie. But the power of the truth of God's word is what we've got to focus on. God sent in verse 17 of chapter 2, and he told Adam, through the spoken word that he gave, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. How is that any different from what people spew today about God's word? The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, or will be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. the religious world says, oh no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Well, see, that's what a lot of people want to hear. So the twisting of the power of God's word, the devil becomes more powerful in the minds of people. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, remember? Jesus speaks to us today the word of his grace. Paul spoke of the grace of the gospel in Acts 20 when he spoke to the Ephesian elders there at Miletus. So we will believe and obey it to be saved. That's the power of God's word. If God must do more, then Satan's lie is stronger than God's word. You realize that? If you're going to believe the lie that someone twists God's word, you will not surely die. Then God's word is not powerful enough, is it? But if you believe the truth, the power of the truth, then you can be saved. In Acts chapter 8, or rather Hebrews chapter 1 there, we noticed it earlier. But in Acts chapter 8, when Philip was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 26 says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And seated in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. Notice here, who saved this Ethiopian? Was it Philip? No. He just went and preached and interpreted so this man could understand. Well, look right here. It says, now the angel of the Lord spoke. Did that angel save the Ethiopian? No. Was not the angel. Was not Philip. Was it the direction of the Holy Spirit who sent, told this angel to tell Philip to go? Arise and go down to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. No, what saved him was the preaching of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the word of truth. That's what we see in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And you know what happens in verses 36 through 39? Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, notice, let's back up. With all your heart, every ounce of your being, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What we see here is the work of the power of the truth of God's word, the gospel being preached. Didn't matter if it was Philip, somebody else, it didn't matter. It didn't matter that he was directed by an angel to go down and catch up with his chariot. What mattered was the truth was spoken. And the truth has such an impact upon this eunuch that he said, see, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? If you believe, you can. But he said, if you believe with all your heart, it takes a full devotion to serving God. But the power of the truth also helps us over temptations in our life. Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith in which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice here in verse 14, he says, your strength to stand is found in the truth. Stand therefore, he says. In verse 14 again, he says that righteousness of truth is what will help you to stand. That breastplate of righteousness is going to help protect you from temptations in this world. Some people are tempted sometimes and they say, well, nobody understands what I'm going through. There's not any new sin or any new temptation under the sun that wasn't available when Paul wrote this in Ephesians 6. Nothing. There's nothing new under the sun. He talks about in verse 15 there, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The pathway that we walk is the gospel. That's what directs our lives. The truth, the power of the truth over temptation is the gospel that helps to direct our path. He says in verse 17 that knowledge of salvation, he says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. He also talks there in verse 17 that we're able to slay evil, to kill evil, to put to death, mortify evil and errors with the Word of God. We're able to defeat temptations. We're able to defeat Satan with the Word of God. The power of the Word of God helps us. God's power is working in our lives when we obey that truth. It completes us for salvation. Paul writes to the Philippian brethren in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God works in us through the power of his truth, the power of his word. It enables us to live a holy life. But the power of the truth has power over death. We have to keep the word of Jesus. Just simply put, he's not talking about physical death. We're all going to die in this world. This old body that we're living in eventually is going to give way to death. But the power of truth over death is that second death that the book of Revelation talks about. That eternal separation from God. That's the death that nobody wants to face. In eternity, separated from God and the Son. Eternity living in a hell prepared for the devil and his angels. The power of the truth has that kind of power over death. But it's up to us. It's up to us to completely, fully, absolutely submit to the gospel of Christ. The resurrection from the dead is what we have power talking about here. Life from spiritual death for those that believe, like we read about in Revelation. God has given us the marvelous blessing of truth. He has given us hope through his truth, and he has given us grace through his truth. Paul writes to the Colossian brethren, or talking about this, the question is, are you going to believe it and obey it? God's judgment will be according to truth. Romans 2 and verse 2. The judgment of God is according to truth. Do you believe in the power of God's word? Yeah, I believe. Well, what are you going to do with it? No, I don't believe. Why not? God's word is all powerful. The truth of God's word. It amazes me that people of the world in the denominational aspect of religion claim to be followers of Jesus but yet won't do what he says. And it really amazes me that my brothers and sisters in Christ, everywhere that I talk to people and about how members serve the Lord, it really boggles my mind that we will not serve the Lord fully and completely. Do we doubt the power of his word? We must. Do we doubt that his word is powerful enough to save our souls from eternal destruction? You know, if you're here this morning and you've never been baptized, then you can believe in the power of that gospel to save your soul. He offers salvation, and all you have to do is put his son on in baptism. Somebody's going to say, well, I don't think you have to be baptized because there's nothing in there. Well, you're right, because Travis and I talked about this the other night. There's nothing in here but chlorine. Maybe a little bleach. Right, Travis? So what saves you is the power of the message that you have listened to and are willing, like the eunuch, to submit to. Are you willing to submit? Do you realize how much power there is in the Word of God? Benny, what's your invitation song?
Just the power in the blood.
Power in the blood. There's that word power in it. How much power is in the blood, the word of Christ? Are you willing to submit to that power? It may be that you've already put Christ on in baptism and you've gone back into the world. You have quit following the Lord, or whatever the case may be. This is your opportunity to reconnect with the power of the truth of God's word by confessing your sins as public as they may be. It may be that you're here this morning and you don't have any problems with, you've already obeyed the gospel, you're living as faithful as you can, but you don't have any sins in your life, but maybe there's some temptations that you're going through and you'd like the prayers of the saints. We can accommodate you on that as well. If you're here this morning,